Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Yes, Lord, tonight our hearts sings out, how great is our God in this place. Hallelujah, Father God, tonight we bring you glory, honor, and praise in this place, for you are great and wonderful. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Oh, church, if you can, sit down. Wow, the Lord is in this place. Praise God. Thank you to the band. Alles aan die brand. We're on fire. The fire is in this place. The fire has not gone out. I mean, we've prayed. We've trusted God for the breakthroughs. And we're still in that flow. Don't lose the flow. God is about to do great things in this nation. Yes. It's only started. You will see this year will end on a massive high note. The Lord is about to do things, people. Christians, do you understand that? So we are still in warfare mode. We're still on fire for Jesus. We're still burning. Do you have that fire inside of you? That fire that cannot be quenched because you've been in God's presence. And this is what this message tonight is all about. It's about Him in our lives. It's about Him and you personally. So, the purpose of your calling. The purpose of your calling. I really believe that every single person has a calling. And what you do with that calling is all dependent on your response to His grace. If you do not respond to His grace, you cannot grow. But there's a plan. There's a wonderful plan at play for your life. And so many people, they are disconnected from their callings, from what God wants to do with them and through them. It's something that you have to take very serious, the purpose of your calling. What is a calling? Do you know, in 1983, we had to complete a certain form. If you're in this age bracket and a little bit younger, then you had to do a certain thing. I was in standard 9, grade 11 now, and we all received a certain form. And we had to complete that form. And we had to send it back to the governmental offices, but they did it in the schools. It was a registration form. So we filled it in because there was a call-up coming to a person when you finished school. And that call-up determined where you would find yourself for 2 years during that time. So they asked us, they gave us a suggestion. You may apply and ask for 3 places you can go to in the army in South Africa. So, you know, every single person I know in Gauteng filled in Pretoria. Because that's close. So I wanted to go to the Air Force, but it had to be in Pretoria. That was my, you know, and I really thought and trusted the South African government to send me there. You know, I had faith in them, but they sent me to a place I've never heard of. A place called Kimberley. How many people have been in Kimberley? That's not a place. It's the place they send you to teach you how to survive. Johannesburg is the best weather you can have on the planet. The winters are lovely. The summers are beautiful. And you know, we kind of like a bunch of sissies here. Sorry for that word, but when I got my call and we arrived and they said to us, Now get onto a train and arrive. A day later, we arrived in Kimberley. And then I understood what this paper meant. It meant prepare yourself for war. That's what the call-up meant. And Kimberley's weather. So there's just one extreme in Kimberley. There's burning hot and burning cold. There's no in-between. Anybody from Kimberley here? They even dug a hole to catch some heat. But there's nothing you can do. You're stuck there. I was stuck there for a full year. And I thought, you know, great. I did my year there. And they sent me now. I was waiting for Pretoria. But guess where they sent me then? All the way to Messina. It's worse than Kimberley. So you just lose a lot of weight. But praise God, the heat. But I want to talk about, you know, your call-up papers. God has called His people to a certain place, to a certain position, and to have power and dominion. If you don't know what that is tonight, you will find out what is your calling. Because your calling has a certain outworking. And that outworking, if you follow the manual, there's a powerful outworking of the calling on your life. So I need to get to a scripture first. So please go to Mark 3 from verse 14. Mark 3. We will start with Mark 3. This is Jesus. Then Mark 3 from verse 14. Lovely to hear the Bibles. Then He appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons. It's a beautiful piece of scripture there. It's a beautiful piece of calling there, right there. And I'll be talking about specifically the calling we as Christians have in this generation. I really believe that we are in the final generation before the Lord will come and fetch His church. And His church better be ready, not to be caught up, but to be at work. That's the calling. The calling is not to wait for the escape. All right, we'll get to some stuff. So I've written a couple of things here. I am called to be faithful. The enemy knows that we have a future and a hope. But to the detriment of so many millions of Christians, they believe that God does not have a call on their lives. They believe that lie, that God cannot use you. God, you are insignificant, and God, you will use people that are much more intelligent, much more equipped, and much more ready. That's a massive, big lie of Satan. First of all, every person is valuable to God because God is not in the mistake business. God is not in the mistake business. He's never made a mistake. When He created you, He created you with a tongue in your mouth and with a brain to have dominion and authority. So I believe every person has a call. And Pastor Tiens reminded me so wonderfully, great teacher. He reminded me of the general call and the specific call on people's lives. There is a general call, and we'll talk more about that. And then there's the specific call. Many people are concerned about the specific call. Where will I end up? And they forget about the general call. What is the general call? We'll share about that because that's all to do with discipleship. All to do with being a disciple of Jesus Christ. So the greatest call in a person's life is not to be a pastor, an evangelist, a prophet, a teacher, but to be a Christian. That's what this world needs. The body of Christ needs pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets and apostles. But the world needs Christians. They're waiting for us. They are ready to receive us. You cannot be faithful to Christ and not be faithful to your call. If you are faithful to Christ, you will be faithful to the call on your life. And you cannot be faithful to your call without being faithful to Jesus Christ. The two are connected, hand in hand. Everything is about Jesus Christ. That is why this Mark 3:14 says, "Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him." That is the call. I don't want any person to miss this. You see, many people do things without Jesus and end up messing up the church. The call on your Christian life, number one, is to be with Jesus. And that is why Jesus said here, "Then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out demons." This is our lifetime call, to be with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:2 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Please go there. Going to just lay a little foundation and then the fire is going to fall. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." Paul is starting the book here, right away hinting what the church is all about. And he says here, to the church of God. The church of God is the church of God. You have to be careful with whom you connect yourself. The wrong church, the wrong cult, it will destroy the calling on your life. A church should be a place of freedom, peace, joy of the Holy Spirit. Let me get into some of the stuff. God calls people into his church, the body of Christ. There is no such thing as a calling outside of the body of Christ. God connects you to the church because the church is his body. And then called people are sanctified people. You've got to understand this. Called people are sanctified people. Now, what is a sanctified person? A sanctified person is a person free from sin. It is to be legitimate. That is what a sanctified person is. A legitimate child of God. And then a person that God makes productive. Because a sanctified person is a clean person. It is a clean person. God can use such a person. And then called people, Paul used the word there, are saints. What is a saint? Now, first of all, a sanctified person is a person who's holy. But a saint is a holy person. A saint is a person in whom God's grace is working. And a saint is a person devoted to God. You don't have to go to Rome and ask the Pope to give you sainthood. You can get it tonight. We have a little plastic sword here. Every person can be touched. And we declare you as saints. So you see that Paul says here, the church of God are those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, in with all who are in every place calling upon the name of Jesus Christ. those are the called ones. And then, called people are people who call upon Jesus Christ. Whom are you calling upon? When you are in trouble, are you calling upon fear? Calling upon your bank manager? What are you calling upon? But sanctified people, saints, holy people, are people that call upon their God. Because they've been with Jesus like that 12. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it." He who calls you. And you know that word calls, the word call actually is an invitation. That is what a calling is. It is basically, simply an invitation. God invites the people, the Christians, to enjoy the benefits and the favor that he will place upon a person that is devoted, holy, and dedicated to him. So your devotion and your sanctification, your being made holy, has an effect on your calling. People who battle sin battle with their callings, because there's always a pulling away, always a pulling away. Young people, you've got to conquer sin. If you know the great calling God has placed on this generation, your age, what he wants to do with you, then you'll understand the value of your voice, the value of you as a young person. So, he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Luke 9 from verse 1 says the following. Please go in your Bibles if you have a Bible. Luke 9 from verse 1 and 2. Luke 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. There's a lot in this verse. There's a lot here. Listen to this. He invited the 12 to come together like the church is now together. And then he gave them power and authority over all demons. And then the effect of that power and that calling is to cure diseases and to preach the gospel and to heal the sick. That is the purpose of your calling, is to have authority and power over demons, to heal the sick, and to preach the message of the kingdom of God. Now this word, basically here, he sent them, the sent people are what we call apostles. But be careful now, we're not making any person an apostle. But we are basically being sent by God to do that kind of work. And an apostle, basically, I found a certain word connected to that, is a licensed person. A licensed person. We as pastors, we have what we call marriage licenses. So legally, if we find that you two belong together and we find that you really love each other and we find that, you know, we tested you and we see that you should be together because that's the work of a good pastor, then we can have that license where we sign that paper and then it's legal. So the sending of you into your calling, with your calling, God licenses that so that you might have power and authority over all the work of the enemy. That's the plan. There's no such thing as a powerless Christianity. A Christianity without authority. And we'll deal with some more about the power and the authority of a Christian, because that's where the calling is. The effectiveness of a Christian in his calling is where there's a manifestation of God's power because of the authority in Jesus' name. I love this stuff. So, first of all, we see that the disciples were together. People that are together, submitted to the church, are powerful people. And he gave them power and authority over all demons, and basically to go and cure diseases. And that word cure means therapy. So we all become therapists. Pastor Tiens is going to check out the Greek right now. I know him. And he preached all this morning about the kind of therapy that people need. And the greatest therapy that people need is love and compassion. That's the unique trait of a calling. If a calling is love and compassion, it is a powerful calling. And the words there as well, to heal the sick, is the Greek word iomai, which means to miraculous healing. Do you believe in miraculous healing? In this church, we've seen too much. It's happening weekly and daily where people are healed. So this calling of God is a calling to Himself. You are called personally to Jesus Christ yourself. That is your call, to be linked and united with Him. And you can see if a person is with Jesus. First of all, if a person is with Jesus, there's a manifestation of power and authority. The purpose of the church is to advance the kingdom of God in our lives and in this world. We have the responsibility to enforce God's personal plans by the powerful exercising of His authority on this planet. Why? Because we are in the battle for the souls of men. That is why this church exists, and you exist, so that you might save others. 2 Corinthians 2:1 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, he's a liar and a thief. And if he can let you doubt in your calling, he's got you. Because that will paralyze your future and how God wants to use you. Are you paralyzed? I really mean, are you paralyzed? Are you at the level of, I'm not doing anything for Jesus? That's a paralyzed Christian. Satan's got a hold of your calling. Tonight we are taking back our callings. Tonight we are taking back that God wants to use you in this hour. You've got to take it. It's something powerful that happens on the inside. It is a massive decision you make by the help of the Holy Spirit. It's an activation. Are you activated? Then there must be a demonstration of that activation. Amen. Okay, what is Satan's status on the planet? Do you know what Satan's status is on this planet? He's disarmed by Jesus Christ. That is his status. But yet he still has power. But he doesn't have any authority. When Adam fell, Satan took the authority that Adam had to dominate this planet and to have dominion. Satan took that, and that's where he started dominating people. So right in the Old Testament, you see the domination of men up till the point where Jesus arrived on the scene. Now when Jesus came, he came to do some serious business. And the business he did was to empower his church to be powerful in the sight of the enemy. That is a powerful church. That is what we call discipleship. I'm a little bit excited about this message. Forgive me for that. But the area Satan operates in is the area of ignorance. Because it says here, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We are not ignorant of his devices. And if he keeps people in ignorance, then he robs this planet of a powerful disciple of Jesus Christ that you could be. So you see, the enemy has tactics. He's a liar, a thief, and a murderer. And the devices, these devices means the following. It means forms, inventions, and strategies. When you have the Word of God inside of you, then you see the inventions he creates to paralyze you and others. You become aware of his devices and his strategies. And you become the agent that sets people free from that if you are activated and have a call in your life. Do you have a call in your life? That's the big question. I have a call in my life and I know it. And I know the devil doesn't like it, but I love it. I love God. I love what God is busy doing with our lives. Amen. Praise His name, yes. So we better know that as the enemy has a plan for your health, your wealth, your marriage, your relationships, God has a plan for that as well. God has a wonderful plan. The strength of Satan in this world is ignorance, and the antidote to ignorance is the knowledge of God. That is why we have a beautiful, wonderful Bible school. There's absolutely no person, I'm looking at a crowd here, and there's no reason any person should hold back from coming to Bible school. It is your number one plan for the new year. Amen. Can I see by how many will come? I see God is still talking. See, there's hands. Yes, God is talking. Yes, yes, God will provide. Amen. More hands. Yes, it's an Oprah moment. Yes, Buddha. Yes, yes. All of you come to Bible school. That's the place where I was activated. I sat in that class. I see my sister there, Brenda as well. We were in the same class. I sat there at the back hiding. Just, wow, what are they talking about? It's like ongoing, the word of God. Man, every person should be in Bible school. Man, God is talking to people here right now. If you are ignorant, then the enemy is powerful. He's a liar and a thief. Amen. So my calling is to be holy, to be righteous, to have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many of you want that? That is what I am called for. I'm called to have peace. So in the kingdom of God, knowledge is currency. Knowledge is valuable because the enemy knows that when that currency starts trading, that it renders him powerless. I was so shocked one day by a cell leader whom I invited to pray with me when we had a lot of manifestations here, and the cell leader said, "Not for me, thank you. And he used the word, "I'm scared." Scared of the manifestation of the devil. It shows me that the person is still ignorant. It shows me that that person need to be equipped by the word of God. It shows me that person need to come to Bible school. Amen. So, when you have the right kind of knowledge of Satan's devices, then you become effective against him. Ephesians 4:11 says the following, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. Then we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine." You need to be equipped by the word of God for this hour. It's the only answer to the devices of the enemy. People end up in hell because they are ignorant, because they don't know. But it says here, verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share. The body of Christ needs every person activated. Tonight we are going to do an altar call for cell leaders. I'm serious about that tonight. According to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. An called person is an effective person, is a useful person, is a powerful person. I want to tell you about the word, let me just find it. I see we're running out of time. The words power and authority. You need to understand power and authority. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God." And we know the scripture. We know it's so good. We can even quote it. But you need to understand that the wrestling in a person's life stops against people. I want you to understand that. Because Christians do not wrestle against people. We love people. That's the difference. That's where we are activated. Wrestling with my neighbor stops. Amen. I see some people are coming to the picture. So ek mag nie met my skoonpa baklei nie. Ja, jy mag nie. You see, the moment you understand your authority, the wrestling stops. And there's a new kind of wrestling that is activated. An activated person is totally a refocused person. A refocused upon what God wants to do in every person's life. Amen. Matthew 28:18. Now this is what we call the Great Commission. And the Great Commission says the following. "And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me on heaven and in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." You see, when Jesus gave this commission, he activated the Father's plan in people's lives. And he said to them, "Go therefore and make disciples." So what does the word power and authority means? We know that power means dunamis, which means explosive power. See, everybody wants explosive power. And then we have exousia, which is authority. Dunamis, the enemy, Satan, still have dunamis. He has dunamis over people's lives only because of sin. There's no other reason Satan can activate anything against you except by sin. It's the only thing that activates Satan. Let him have power over people. It's because of sin. But we have authority. What is authority? Authority is the right to exercise power. Many people, all of us, have authority. But authority that is not activated is just an idea. So what is activated authority? Now that everybody's asking me that question. When you're in an armed robbery situation, the armed robber has a gun. Now that gun gives him the power and the authority to tell me what I should do. I said, "Ja, meneer, I'll do whatever you want." Yes, because he has the power. But when you disarm him, get the gun away, what power does he have then? Then he has no power. Then he matches up with my power. And now my power, now there can be a wrestling match because the gun is taken away. Here's the thing. You see, Jesus has disarmed Satan with his power. Then Jesus took that power and he licensed us to use that power in our lives. And that is what you call authority. I have authority to tread. But unused power is ignorant power. So how many people are ignorant of the power of God that you possess because you know his name and you can use his name? Now I want to just take it to another level, a rugby match. Today we played a wonderful rugby match. I said to you this morning there was going to be an effect. Nobody believed me, but I used my faith. That green jersey can do a lot of things. And it worked today. But, you know, like a rugby match, a player, the players, have you seen those brutes? They are big and massive and strong. Have you seen the referees? That referee, all the referees, they just know how to run. That's all they can do is run. But the ref, you see, the players have the power, but the ref has the authority. You see, that ref can be the skinniest guy on the planet. When the ref says, that didn't sound nice. But that noise, then the game has to stop and they have to listen to what the referee is saying. Now the referee in his arsenal has said, you see, the referee is skilled in the game. He knows every single thing. The ref is the most qualified person on the field, not the players. So this referee has got a certain two cards. He's got a yellow card and a red card. Now in rugby, the worst card is a red card. You see, in Christianity, Jesus has pulled out a red card against the enemy, and that is his blood. People, we have a red card in our hands against the wiles of the enemy. We should be effective for God. The callings on our lives, we cannot sit anymore. We've got to be activated to use the red card. Everything the enemy gets away is because Christians are not using the power and authority they have over that liar and that thief and that snake. It's time for us to get effective. Now where, you know, it's a 40-minute match, but all the training goes beforehand to play the game. Where do you play the game? The day I started playing the game was the day I was in a Bible school, was the day I went to my first prayer meeting with Gussie. We went to Lindhaven Center. And for the youth, they had the dungeon. They called the dungeon. And in the dungeon, I had my first prayer meeting. And I went in there, and the youth, they could pray. Let me tell you one thing. The youth then, I walked in there, but there was a buzz, a hub. It was like bees. And said, what is this? There were people lying on the ground, and at certain points there came a whistle, and then someone would pray powerful prayers. And God said to me, that is your future. That's exactly what I want you to do. So from that day, I have been in prayer meetings up till today. Never being at home on Saturdays. Nice. You eat wimpy after a prayer meeting, you know. Nothing happens before a prayer meeting. Amen. Someone clap their hands there, yes. The prayer meeting is where you birth your calling. The prayer meeting is the birthplace of many things in the spirit. If there's no prayer, people, there's no calling. The enemy cannot use you because prayer is the before time, the getting fit time, the preparation time for the power to start manifesting. God wants his people close to him. You get close to him with the word of God and prayer. 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 Not watching Springboks. That does nothing to you. All those people today, they celebrate. Hulle seker dronk op nog albei. In any case. Doesn't help to watch rugby. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. You see, when we pray, we don't play. When we pray, we don't play. A person that prays, young people, when you start praying, that's the place where God starts trusting you. He cannot trust people that are not prayerful. Because that's where the power starts manifesting. I have so much to say to you, and my time is finished. But let me read to you something wonderful here. Let me find something for you. I see Pastor Tiens did this as well this morning. The thing about, let me finish off by saying, the great key to a person's calling is faithfulness. It's faithfulness. Will you be found faithful right to the end? Have you seen what the end looks like? Have you seen that day where the Lord comes and fetches you? Now make a decision tonight that right up till that moment, you'll be found in prayer, in the Word of God, faithful to your wife, faithful to your family, faithful to your church, faithful in giving to the church your finances. In everything, may you be found faithful, because that's the kind of people that steps into their eternal calling. That is the day that God calls His church back to Him. And then He's going to dish out some gifts. I want something from the Lord. I'm going to be selfish. I really want something from God. I don't want to sit in heaven that you're going to see me and say, George, wat het jy aangevang? You know? But let me not say that. Praise God. I want to read to you a little thing about how to go to the end. There was a doctor who practiced medicine in a small town for many years. On his retirement, the town decided to give a banquet to his honor. Something special was arranged. After the meal, an older man in the back of the room got up and walked up to the head table carrying a single rose. He stood before the beloved doctor and placed the rose in an empty vase sitting on the table in front of him. The man said, "Doc, your first year here, I was one of the first babies you delivered in this town." And he went back to his seat. Then someone else got up with another red rose and also placed it in an empty vase and said, "Doc, I understand it wasn't easy. I wasn't an easy birth, but you brought me into the world on the second year you were here." Then another came forward with another rose and said that she was one of those who faced complications at birth during his third year in that town. And one by one, all kinds of people took turns bringing up a red rose to place in that vase. One for a baby he had delivered in each year while serving that community. And they kept doing that until there were 50 roses in that vase. You see, God is looking for the 50 roses, men and women. People that will stick it out. People that are so stuck in the ground, so grounded that nothing can move them. But they are fruit bearers in His kingdom. Are you a 50 rose person? Or how many roses do you have in your vase? It is my full plan to live out my life right here on the West Rand, here in this church, if God allows me. If God gives me the grace and my family the grace, we want to be faithful right till the last day. How about you? God is talking to people here tonight that you are standing dead still because there's no commitment to go forward. Now, He's the one that takes people forward. He's the one that activates. He's the one that takes you and lead you into His purpose for your life. And He wants to use every person possible tonight here in this church, and even this morning, the people that came here this morning. I want us to do this now. I want you to make a new commitment to the vision of this church. If you are planted here, if you're a visitor, I want you to make a strong commitment to be active in your church. But tonight here, I'm asking for people to say, "Father God, I want to be used of God in this church. I want to activate my calling here." And if you say in your heart, "But I'm scared, I don't know how," you're the right person. That's the person we need here. How many people want to be used of God? Put up your hands. Amen. How many people want to become cell leaders? It's a careful one. Be careful how you put up your hand for that one. Because that is what we did, basically. And God used us with that commitment. But it's not a church that forces people. I want you to connect with your pastor. I want you to really go and sit down and say, Father God, in my church, I want to be used. And God will do it. Amen. Amen. And now, let us just bow our heads. If you have come into this place tonight and you say, Lord, I'm far away from you. I've come here not knowing my future. I know that if I were to die tonight, I would end up in a fiery pit in hell. And I don't want that for my life. If you are such a person here tonight and you say, I need Jesus, please put up your hand. Please put it up. Please put up your hands. If you say, I need Jesus. If you say tonight that I'm not where I should be, I am backslidden and I need to make a recommitment of my life to Jesus, please raise up your hands. Yes, put up your hands. That's it. It takes courage to put up your hands. I see that hand. Now, those people who've raised up your hands, please put up, please stand up quickly. Don't let the devil steal from you. God has placed that on your heart. Don't sit down. Don't be afraid. God has raised up your hand, actually. You did not do that. He did that for you. Don't let the devil steal from you. Yes. Don't let the devil steal from you. He's a thief. Please come to the front. Please, those people, please come to the front. See, this is what church is all about. The morning I gave my life to Christ, we were two people in a massive church. Tonight, you are here and God has a wonderful plan with your life. Amen. Amen. Let us all pray with her. Just pray after me. Say, Father God, I pray in Jesus' name that you please forgive me of all of my sins. Please wash me in the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior. Father God, please use me and write my name in the book of life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a wonderful hand. Praise the Lord. What I'm going to do is that I'm going to let the congregation go, but here is a powerful, powerful anointing here tonight to set people free who are in bondage of sin. I'm talking about sin. Talking about specifically, you know that you are in sin and you cannot get out of that. We as the pastors want to pray for you tonight. And it's private, and we want to cast out the things that are keeping people back here tonight. So if that is you, we will take the time to pray for you. And if there's any person with cancer, please come to the front as well. So church, please stand. I'm going to release the church tonight. Please raise up your hands to the throne room of grace. Oh God, Lord, we stand ready here. We stand ready to be used of God. With the callings on our lives, Father, we want to be responsible. We want to be useful. We want to be powerful in your sight. We want to use this authority you've given us, oh God, and we will go out this week and we will do our best for you. This is the prayer of my heart. And Father, as well tonight, we as a church, with our hands raised up to you, We ask for the rains to come down upon this nation. We agree tonight in the name of Jesus Christ that, Father God, the windows of heaven will be opened up and you will pour out a blessing, fill up all the dams. Lord, let the world see that you are a good God, a God that answers prayer. And in Jesus' mighty name, we ask for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, this week it will rain and it will come down in Jesus' name. Let us give the Lord a warm hand in Jesus' mighty name.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.